Hi, and welcome to the Design Fine podcast, a space where women are interviewed and in conversation to discuss the highs, lows, and everything in between about being a woman in design. The Design Fine has new episodes every Monday, so make sure you come back every week. You can find more on the Design Fine podcast Instagram. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, and welcome to the Design Fine, the podcast. Today we have Jacqueline, and she's going to be sharing her story in the design field. So welcome, Jacqueline.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So to start, can you please introduce yourself to the listeners? Who are you? What do you do?
Okay, so my name's Jacqueline. I'm an interior designer, and I've been an interior designer for 11 years now. I work specifically in the hospitality design industry, and it's been great.
So how did your kind of your story initially start with design? Were you always interested in it, or you kind of changed the field?
No, I've actually been interested with design. So I've just shared that I've been working in the field for 11 years. And I've also wanted to become a designer since I was 11. So that's 11. To start with, I'm actually not very sure how I found out about this field because my family is not really arts or design inclined. We were like a typical Asian family where it's all about math, science. But when I was at the age of 11, I found this field somehow, and I've stuck with it. And it's always what I've dreamed of becoming. So I took formal training at university, started working within the field itself, and I've been here. Maybe a change would be I used to do more residential projects in the past, but predominantly I've been with the hospitality design industry.
And what do you think is different about the hospitality like design market versus any other design market?
With hospitality, designing hotels or even restaurants, we have a huge demographic. We don't design for one specific person or one specific family, one specific need. It has to be very, very broad. But it's still very specific, but has to cater to a wider market, a wider range. So, for example, if we're designing hotels, we design to several different demographics. We have to design for the local market and the international market. We have to design for the client preferences. We also have to design for the operator brand. And we also need to think about the users of the space. What would make the space feel more flexible to them to cater to their needs? What would make the space luxurious to them? What would essentially improve the space when they are away from home, not only visually, but also for, you know, their well-being. So that for me is the main difference.
What are kind of the main things that you like to incorporate in hospitality, like for your designs that make you stand out?
For us, with my current company, we design specifically for luxury hotel design. So I would say that also depends with which project we are working on. For example, right now we are working with a Four Seasons brand. So that means it has to be, you know, ultra luxury, has to be very level of I guess designing. So everything has to be very, very well considered in terms of design itself, the detailing, the materials. And also when we're designing for hotels, we have to consider a lot of things. So I think a lot of your guests, your interior design guests would have already mentioned, interior design is just not, you know, something that's visually satisfying. It has to work. It has to have a purpose, and it is problem solving. So we have to consider things such as, you know, fire life safety, and we can't just pick materials for the sake of picking materials. They need to have, you know, their technical specifications correct. So those things, when designing any hotels or F&B, have to be heavily considered. Going back to Four Seasons, we have to ensure that their brands are, we carry their brand throughout the space and not just design it to look like any other hotel.
What are kind of main things that people can design their own spaces, or like you said, a hospitality group, that would make it come from like an average space to like an ultra luxury, like you mentioned before?
It's the detailing, I would say. Like a 3-star hotel would require different detailing than a 5-star hotel. You know, a resort would require a different look and feel than a city hotel. It's these like nuances that we have to consider. Sense of place. Every hotel should look like it belongs to where it is. So if you're designing a hotel in China, then that would be different to designing a hotel in Dubai. For me, actually, the one of the most fun part about design that I really love is the research that goes into designing something. So for me, when I start to design a project, I would completely immerse myself in whatever I was doing. I would look into the country's culture, food, music, I would try to speak to friends I have from that country, just to know more about how the market is, what do hotel guests in that country expect, what are their markets, I lost my train of thought. Could you please repeat your question?
What makes a space more luxurious than an average space?
More luxurious. I would say it's the feeling that your needs are being met. So even your interior design space, it needs to be able to anticipate your needs. So in a guest room, we think about, you know, when you're seated on your desk, what would you need? You'd need your socket nearby, you'd need a lamp with you. So those are functional things that you wouldn't necessarily think is luxurious, but it's the luxury of, you know, being able to enjoy your space, not just look at it.
I completely understand, because I think also what just little details can elevate a space so much. What is
exactly
kind of your role in being an interior designer, if to mesh with the company's brand, like you mentioned? How do you work with a company, you know, in terms of they say this is what our colors are, this is what our style is, and how do you kind of go with that to make it an elevated space?
I think harmony is very, very important, especially when we're designing spaces. So that is very broad in a sense, but you know, if you have this within you, you can take any brief and create whatever they need, but ensure that it looks very good, because it has to look very good. The function, the aesthetics, it has to be very, very balanced. It has to be very thoughtful. And luxury is very, very subjective, but also I think if things are very, very well considered, very thoughtful, together they will be your luxurious space, I guess.
Overall, what are some things that you can recommend to people to kind of make their space more luxurious, like just their home? Like something
new? Oh, just their home. I guess also to cater to their needs. How do they want to use their space? I always tell my friends who ask for tips designing homes, what I always say is you can check with a friend, a designer friend. So you can check with me. I can help you do your spatial layout. I can help you do this and that. But at the end of the day, I think for homes, you have to make it a place where you are happy. So if you don't agree with my selection for you or my layout for you, then do what makes you happy. We, from a third person point of view, we would recommend as designers how we think the space would work based on interview questions we've had, but also you would know yourself better. So in terms of luxury for home, I guess also buying from very trusted brands to ensure that your the products you have at home are would last however much you need them to be, not just, you know, gone after a year.
What is something that people might overlook or they don't really understand about the interior design in the hospitality industry?
Perhaps the time it takes to create the space. I think we have a lot to do still with trying to, I guess, educate others of what interior design actually entails. We have a lot of planning to do. And you won't notice good design, but you'll notice a bad design. So if we've curated a space that's very thoughtful, I think it often goes unnoticed. But if we do things wrong, then you'll notice it because it won't function the way you want it to function.
And kind of looking back, what is something that you may have not told yourself before that you completely would change your mind about now, in terms of like designing hotels and things like that?
I don't necessarily think there's anything I've not exactly told myself, but I think there are many layers to the interior. And every year I learn things that I may not have even been aware of previously. So it's really, I think, just being open to learning more and growing basically every day.
And why do you prefer the hospitality industry versus any other industry to design for?
I think it's the challenge. It's the challenge of being adaptable. You were asking earlier about style. So I think in terms of the design or the creative industry, we have to keep evolving. So I wouldn't necessarily define a certain style for myself. But it's just designing for hotels is... it's very exciting to keep thinking of new ways to do the same brief, but to different places and different brands, different clients.
What is your least favorite thing about designing for hotels?
Least favorite thing. I don't have an answer. I think I love what I do so much. I currently don't have an answer for this one.
Were you always designing for hospitality, or did you kind of move around and that's what you decided you liked the best?
I did try a few other, I guess, sectors of interior design. So when I graduated, I was first working with show flats, which are basically designing model homes for residential developments. I've also designed for some retail spaces. What else? Offices. I've also done a bit of residential projects on the side, but that all only maybe took one or two years. Predominantly, I have always been now with the hotel design.
And in terms of the process, what can you kind of just walk us through the timeline of when the hotel initially reaches out to you and says, hey, we need your help, to the final like finished product?
How long it takes? That takes the signing of the project and the signing of contract can take, I think, as quick as a few months. But from there through to completion, typically it takes 2 years if that's like going on full throttle and not having to stop midway. But actually most of the projects these days would stop at some point. So even the design process drags out from 9 months to years. And then even after designing, sometimes the client will decide to park the project and not build it yet. And so it really varies.
And what is like your favorite part of the process?
My favorite part of the process will sound as cheesy as what I said with what I didn't like, but I love the whole thing. If I were to choose, I would choose the concept stages where I would immerse myself in the project, think about how do we define this brand now, what would make it unique. So to me, that's very interesting because it's all very high level thinking. And also that would be a challenge to us as designers each time. How do we create, for example, if we're doing the same brand at the same time, at the same place, how do we make each space unique on its own? So to me, that's the most exciting part.
And what are some qualities that you think is really helpful to be a designer?
Determination and grit. Just to share a bit, like my family, they were not very keen on me pursuing design, but I was adamant because I knew this is what I wanted. So there will be challenges, I think, but if you are very determined and if you persevere, that would come in very handy because when you start working, those are the qualities you need as well to keep going. It's not an easy field to be with, but it's very, very rewarding, especially when you see your clients happy, when you see guests coming into the hotel you've designed, and they'll be so happy. And it's just, I guess, when you are very passionate about your job, you feel more rewarded when you bring your design to completion.
And what is some of the favorite projects that you've worked on?
Some of my favorite projects. A lot of our projects are confidential, so I might not be able to share my most favorite ones. But I love this bar we did. It's already in construction. It's a craft brewery bar in China. And I love that because we again recreated the branding. So we worked with the hotel operators and owners, and we were able to successfully design a space that is for their market and also to also share with them our thoughts as designers. So instead of just designing the space, we also shared, we think if we provided this sort of space, it will become better. So you can hold workshops, you can have your private dining room, you can have an experiential tour. That is my favorite in terms of how involved we were and also with how the visual design came out. We've won awards for it. The clients are very happy. So to me, that's a very successful project.
And has there ever been any projects that you design and then like in final construction, when you see it at the end, it just does not look like what you thought it would look like in a good or bad way?
I would say for the stuff we built, because you'll be involved at every stage, so there won't really be a big shock at the end. I did have a project where we were constantly rejecting materials because they were not up to standard, and the client had just taken out us out of the picture. So not really sure how that turned out to be, but if I see that project, then that might be a shock to me.
Is it difficult to work with clients who have more of a design eye, or they're really particular about what they want, or is it more helpful?
I think it's neither. Sometimes it's very helpful because then we could design the space better for you. If you tell us what you want, we'll improve upon your ideas. Or if you are not sure what you want, then we can give you proposals after, you know, having initial interviews with you and trying to establish what it is you actually prefer. That's part of our job, and both are equally satisfying. But I think the nuance might come in how much you trust us as your designers, and also organization is very important. If you can convey your ideas in an organized manner, we can take it from you and give you back something that's more valuable and something that would, you know, have our experience and our input.
And if people want a elevated, nicely designed space, but they don't actually want to hire a designer, they can't afford one, what do you recommend people do?
I think about how you want to use the space. Pinterest is so accessible. Everybody has a Pinterest board these days. So, you know, organize your thoughts. Think about what you need, what you want. On Pinterest, there are also layout designs, actually, like sketches of people. So you can go in, you know, have a study in 2D. And also in IKEA, in Hong Kong, IKEA is very accessible. So go to IKEA, figure out what you want, what works for you. They have, you know, miniature layout. So think about that, experience the space, and bring home what you think is better for your home or best for your home.
What are like your three main values in a space that, like, no matter what, they have to have?
It has to be very functional. It has to be very, very functional. It has to, and I say balance, if we're talking about a residential context, you can't have all the rooms in your room a focal. You have to choose one or two, and then the rest of the wall should be, you know, balancing out the busyness of those walls. Otherwise, it won't be relaxing for you to go home and, you know, just be so, I guess, what do you call that? Just be so overwhelmed by everything you see. It has to be a space. It has to be your own oasis where you go home and relax and do the things that you have to do.
What do you think are the best resources people can use to design their space as a designer? Like, what are some of the things that you use?
To design a space, as in perhaps designing your home or your office, tools. It would be, to go very basic, you can design from paper, of course, but there are softwares which really help designers. Perhaps if one of the easiest tools to learn would be SketchUp. So you can lay your space out. It's very easy to use, so you can also do your own 3D models. It's easy enough that while technical, it is very user-friendly. So you can build your own little 3D model, and then you can assess the space how you need it to be. But also, you just reminded me of a software I played with a lot as a kid, which is The Sims. So this software is very easy in that, you know, you can purchase, I think you are able to purchase a home, like an architectural layout, and then from there you can build, you can take in your bed, your furniture, set up walls. But then what I loved when I was doing this was actually to set up my own floor plate. Think about how big do I want the space to be? Do I want one part of the house coming out this way? What style of furniture do I want? So that is very helpful.
And what? How do you implement interior design in your life, or do you not implement it because it's kind of like work?
No, I think I still do. But when you're doing your home, you kind of at a certain point stop changing things very much. It's just about accessorizing. How I implement it though is through people asking me for design all the time, design tips all the time. So I guess that's still very interesting to me, because I love it when people come up to you and ask you about your job, and ask you for your advice.
And what is kind of the big life lesson you've learned from being in interior design?
Big life lesson from interior design. I think it's thinking for your client, because I think as designers, you come out thinking, oh, I'm going to design a space that I want to do. But in reality, we design the spaces for other people. So we always have to listen to their needs, anticipate what they want, and also make sure that we really bring value in their lives. Make sure that we take care of them. The spaces we build take care of them.
And how do you kind of work with the client so they can trust you, but also you can have your own like artistic freedom?
I think it involves open conversations. Design is very subjective, so we can go on and on talking about visual preferences. But if the client, if you're able to establish with a client that you want what's best for them and that you're doing what if you are giving your expert advice based on things that you have learned previously from other projects, then they'll trust you because they'll know that you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, and you just want what's best for them.
And what are kind of your favorite things to design for, like in terms of your style of design? Like, what are things that you personally really like in doing?
What I really like doing in terms of the task, or I really love the beginning part, all the research that goes into like the foundation, basically. I love doing that. I love also getting to design the actual spaces, which we call, so there's a concept stage, there's a schematic stage. For most designers, those are the most interesting part, because that's when you're creating, establishing an idea, and then turning the idea into 3D to present to the client. Those are my favorite tasks.
And what is your style in terms of design? Like, how would you give your bio to the new client?
We give out our, we have this portfolio that we give out to our clients. So we don't really give our personal, style. We give out our portfolio, and then we have our pre-qualification documents, which are essentially resumes of designers working for that project. And style, with my current company, we have our own style in that we design very contemporary spaces, even if that's not necessarily the branding, but we try to fuse their brand with our style. That's what they hired us for. We are very contemporary luxury. And we fuse that with whatever requirement is needed for us for the project.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Jacqueline. It was great to hear your story.
Thank you. Lovely to see you.